Welcome to Marketing Tips for Translators, a podcast with marketing and business tips and strategy specifically for freelance translators and interpreters. I'm your host, Tess Whitty, a longtime freelance translator with an education and professional background in marketing. Tune in to hear tips from my own experience or from other translators and industry experts. Hi there, this is Tess. Before we get into this week's episode, a short message about a new course. Is this you? You finally, or unfortunately, have some time to work on your business and website, but you don't know where to start. You know that you can make your website, your social media profiles, especially your LinkedIn profile, and your online content better to get it to show up higher in the search results and attract ideal clients to you so that you can hit the ground running once the economy has recovered. If so, I would like to invite you to my new mini course opening in May, complete with a guest teacher who is an expert on LinkedIn marketing. The course is called Inbound Marketing for Freelance Translators and Interpreters, How to Transform Your Website and Online Presence into Client-Generating Machines. There's no better time than now to review your online presence and make sure that you are attracting your ideal clients. That's why I wanted to offer you this course right now. I have guided over 200 students through this content in live or online workshops, and now I'm updating it and making it available as an online course that you can go through at your own pace and when it works for you. This course doesn't only cover an optimized website and its content or an optimized LinkedIn profile, it also covers all your online presence and how to use inbound marketing and content marketing to attract your ideal clients. Go to marketingtipsfortranslators.com/inbound-marketing for more information and to sign up. I will also put a link to this in the show notes. Welcome to Marketing Tips for Translators. How are you today? I truly hope that you are all doing well. As I'm recording this, I just got back from 1 week, a camping trip for our wedding anniversary. It was supposed to be in Galapagos, but it ended up being in camping in South Dakota. But it was so good for the soul to get out and forget about the pandemic for a while, even if we had to take certain precautions. So we were traveling with our own kitchen and bathroom, which makes it much easier. The inbound marketing course for translators and interpreters has also launched, and we have quite a group of students going through it already, optimizing their websites, online presence, and profiles, and content marketing strategy. And it is open for continuous enrollment. Today, we're going to talk about business intelligence. What is business intelligence? It refers to technologies, applications, and practices for the collection, integration, analysis, and presentation of business information. And the purpose is to support better business decision making. But before you turn off and do something else, because this sounds really boring, hear me out. I attended a great presentation at the online BP conference this year on this topic, and it is amazing what you can do with a little bit of data and information about your business. You can grow your business and you can create a more fulfilling career. So today I want to invite the English into Greek translator and interpreter, Vasiliki Prestige, back to the podcast because she has been able to do amazing things for her business with her company data or business intelligence. And she shares this information with other translators. So welcome back to the podcast, Vasiliki.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again. It is so nice to talk to you. And I am excited to discuss this very boring topic again.
But you made it sound very interesting.
I am pleased. Yes, I know. It's you know, at first it sounds like something you don't really need, something you don't or shouldn't care about. But really, if you simplify what it really means and apply it to the reality of a translator, it yes. makes a lot of sense.
Yes, yes. And I'm so pleased to have you back on the podcast. I know you've already been on the podcast actually even this year, but that was before the pandemic. And when we're recording this, it's beginning of June. So tell us a little bit about your business since we spoke last, whatever you want to tell us. A lot of things have happened.
A lot of things have happened, that's true, and a lot of things are changing, and I'm sure that is the case for everyone around the world.
Yes.
In my case, I live in London, so we went into lockdown in mid-March. Our lockdown was not as strict as Italy's or Spain's, for example. We were still able to go outside for 1 hour every day for exercise or grocery shopping. And things now have started to ease, even though that makes a few people nervous because the numbers are still quite high.
Yeah.
But in terms of work and business, I mean, the whole business world is rather shaken. Mm-hmm. And I think that has certainly had a knock-on effect on the translation industry for sure. And in my case, because I also do interpreting, that's where I've seen the big gap for me, because the events are no longer taking place. And so I am not being called to go anywhere and interpret face to face. There's been some telephone interpreting and some video call interpreting, but the issue with my nature of work is because I do legal interpreting and business interpreting and diplomatic interpreting in embassies and consulates, these kind of sessions do not take place online. They will either take place face-to-face or they will not at all. So that has been quite a shock to the system, not so much in terms of, you know, financially, but also, and I would say primarily, the social aspect of the job. Mm-hmm. I can feel the gap of that in my day-to-day life, and you know, all the traveling, the hustle and bustle in the city, meeting new faces, networking, meeting with people. I just miss that so much. And then again, other work has increased, so I found other revenue streams. So from presenting webinars or writing articles, and quite a lot of marketing translations, actually, because I understand that companies who struggle to push and sell product, they want to do everything they can to market the product. So I think that's what's happening there. So they're pushing more marketing out, so that means more marketing translations. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I've noticed in terms of work and numbers and by analyzing the numbers is that my legal translation has gone down, and that I found out is because of a lot of my contacts being either made redundant or furloughed, and so they're not working, and mm-hmm. their work is not being picked up by somebody else. Mm-hmm. So if they're not allowed to work, they cannot send me any work. So it's really good to have this overview of what's been happening, but you know, I've been filling in my time with a lot of other things. I'm doing a lot of webinars, online presentations. I go live very often. I started doing some coaching for other translators. And so life goes on, and we have to find ways of figuring out what we need and how to achieve it. And that's the only thing we can do.
Yes. We have to adapt and change, and our goals that we set at the beginning of the year might look quite a bit different now that we're 6 months in, I believe.
Yeah, so, that's true.
But let's talk about business reporting, which you presented on at the BP conference. So why do we need it? It sounds quite dry and boring, like I said, since I'm one that don't like accounting and so forth. So why do we need it?
So I agree with you that it sounds quite dry and boring, but we need it because we are businesses, and it doesn't matter how small businesses we are still organizations, and we hold data in the core of what we do. And to give you a very, you know, practical example, what we've just been discussing already is a result of my business intelligence analysis, in a way, where I've sat down and looked at the numbers and realized, actually, I'm not getting as much legal translation work, and I'm not getting any interpreting work, but I'm getting more marketing translation work. And how can I fix the gap here? What can I do? So business reporting for translators specifically is nothing but looking at the information you already hold, analyzing it by asking questions, and then trying to figure out what is happening. And it's so important to know things like who is your biggest customer, and in terms of what the volume they send, the rate they pay, the frequency of the work, and what kind of work is it? Is it translation? Is it interpreting? Is it review? Is it localization? Is it marketing? Is it general documents? What is it? So it's really important to know all these details, because then you can make more informed decisions going forward.
Mm-hmm. So, but that means that we need to record this, all this information somewhere. Is that, right, what systems can we get this information from? Is it our accounting software?
Right. This is a good question. And every time I make this presentation, I always get some people who confuse business reporting with invoicing or accounting. It is not invoicing. It is not accounting. But invoicing and accounting will be some of the places where you will go and find out that information. But the problem is that we hold data probably in a very scattered way, in a very unorganized way, and that can make the job of business reporting quite a laborious process, which, you know, nobody wants to spend hours and hours looking at numbers and figures. So I think every translator is different, and they run their business in a different way, and it's down to the individual to understand what would be the best practice for them. Mm-hmm. And in my presentation for BP, I showed the spreadsheet I hold and what sort of information I log on that spreadsheet. And then I also talked about a few different business intelligence technologies that are available on the market. Now, of course, these can be quite expensive and, you know, maybe too big and too much for a business of, you know, the size of one translator or a partnership of translators, right? Mm-hmm. So it's all very much relevant, and depending on, you know, what it is that you want to achieve from your business reporting. And maybe we can talk a little bit about, I guess, the kind of data and the nature of data that one could be looking at. And
yes, so okay, it's not an accounting system. I'm going to back up here. It's not an accounting system. I mean, from my accounting system, I know who my biggest clients are. Mm-hmm. And how much income they bring in, so, but not necessarily Well, if they're direct clients, I kind of know what kind of material I translate for them, but that's it. So what kind of system do I need and what data should I put into it? You said you're just using an Excel. Right?
That's right. I have a few different actually spreadsheets, but in one, and there are many reasons why I prefer Excel, and I can go into it in it later. But to begin with, the kind of data we could be looking at and saving and analyzing, these are very simple things such as who do we do work for, the client name, the business name, what kind of service do we offer to them, because some translators don't do only translation or only interpreting. Maybe they provide a variety of different services. Some translators may have two language combinations, so it's important to know which language combination brings in the most money, let's say, or the most or the highest paying customers. Mm-hmm. And that often has to do with the market where you're active. So that's another type of data you could be keeping. So location, where is your biggest client? Where are they based geographically? Because then you could start asking yourself, if, let's say, my biggest client is based in Luxembourg, mm-hmm. maybe there are more of them in that area. So maybe that's where I should be targeting. Mm-hmm. That's an idea. And other kind of data, which I think is really important, particularly for translators, is specialization. So, mm-hmm. for example, I work within a couple of industries, so legal and marketing, and my third one is psychology and psychometrics. But I know that psychometrics only brings in 12% of my annual income, right? Mm-hmm. So if I wasn't keeping a record of which job is psychometrics translation, then I wouldn't know that that's the percentage. And then again, volume and the relationship between volume and rate, because that's how we understand the value the client brings in. Because somebody, like we said earlier, let's say my biggest client in 2019 gave me 50,000 words, or let's say 150,000 words in a year. But if the rate was very low, then maybe that was not the highest paying client, but the highest volume client.
Yeah.
So it's understanding all these little nuances and also comparing this information. So not looking at the information on its own. So don't just look at, let's say, oh, I've had 100 legal translation jobs this year, but also look at, I've had, let's say, 100 legal translations this year, out of which 50 came from a client located in Luxembourg. So kind of try and make correlationships between data.
Do you need to set up in your Excel spreadsheet, do you have formulas then set up?
So I have formulas that calculate the numbers, but what I found really helpful is simply the filters. Just filter each column on the very top, and then by ticking what is relevant and unticking what's irrelevant. So if I want to see, if I want my spreadsheet to list only English into Greek marketing translations, I will go to the specialization tab. Yep. And tick marketing translations, and then it will only show me those jobs. And then by just looking at that narrowed down result, mm-hmm. I can then drill even further. And then by then going into the client name column and tick, let's say, if I want to see one specific client only and not all of them. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, so it's a spreadsheet is a more perhaps controlled way of doing that, and also, of course, it's cheaper. Yeah. And maybe you could also say it's safer if you don't have it on the cloud, because yeah. quite a lot of these business intelligence tools are on the cloud, and you may not want to put the information there. Even though you can anonymize the data, and you can even code, you can give your clients a code name, right? So you mm-hmm. could do that, for example.
So I know in your presentation you showed an example spreadsheet of yours, and that sort of clarified it a lot. Do you have a template that you could share for this, or the example, or anything like that that we could share?
Yes, absolutely, because especially after the presentation, a lot of the attendees got in touch and said, can you please share the template? So I'll be very happy to either we can link it somewhere, or I can send it to you, or people yes. can get in touch with me and ask for it. Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, so we will link to it in the show notes. So because it really shows it much better. So
yeah.
Should we mention any other systems, perhaps, if people don't want to use Excel, even though your Excel spreadsheet, I know, is very easy to set up. But
anyway. Yes, true. So there are plenty of tools out there who do this kind of analysis for you. There is Zoho Analytics or Tableau. I think during the presentation, I've showcased the demo for Tableau. I don't work for any of them. I don't get commission for calling their names. It's just the tools I found through doing a little bit of research. And there is ActiveTrack, there is Cluvio, DataBox, ClickView. Quite a few of these offer a 1 month free trial. So if you feel like trying one out, you can just sign up for the free trial and see how it goes. And if it's too much for you, you just let it go. Or if it works, then you keep it.
And so we should probably link to some of them so people can look at them just in case. And I also think that LSP Expert can do quite a bit of this. Also,
yes.
Which is developed by translators for translators.
Yes. I mean, I haven't had personal experience with LSP Expert, but I've seen it quite a lot, and I've seen many other colleagues use it. And they said the same. So we should be adding LSP Expert to the list as well.
I will add that too.
Yeah.
And they also have a free trial. Okay. So now you could see what results and how long have you collected this data and what results did you see?
You know, I think I'm quite,
let's say,
I'm quite lucky, I think, because I always felt the need that I had to have something like that in place. Mm-hmm. So I've had it in place since I've started. I've always had that kind of spreadsheet in place. It wasn't always looking this way. As things progressed, I've realized what it is I want to be tracking more of or less of, or what's not important. And the main thing for me is, first of all, it keeps the information organized in one place. Mm-hmm. Then it helps me prioritize tasks, because essentially I track all my projects on it. So I know what's coming up, what deadline do I need to hit next, what are the numbers looking for this month, and it helps me make projections. So I can look at the previous month and then look at the date today and look at the numbers where they are right now, and then see if I'm behind, if I am ahead. I can look at this month's numbers today and compare them to last year's. So that is also a very good comparison, because I just feel like I need to know how the business is going, if I'm doing better, if I'm doing worse, if I'm doing mm-hmm. the same. Mm-hmm. And if I am doing better, then trying to understand why I am doing better, or if I'm doing worse, trying to understand why I'm doing worse. Mm-hmm. And for example, with this pandemic, it's been really critical for me being able to understand where is the work being lost. So where am I losing work? Which revenue streams have dried up? Mm-hmm. Which ones are still going? And trying to figure out whether I can either revive the lost ones or if I can replicate more of the ones that are still bringing in the work. Mm-hmm. But if I didn't have this data in one place and I could look at the numbers very quickly, I don't think I would have been able to do that. And also it gives me a very good and clear picture of my different market segments. And by that, I mean, like what you've mentioned at the beginning, is it direct clients? Is it agencies? Is it private individuals? And then drilling further into the data of the market segments. So if it's direct clients, what are they? Are they law firms? Are they tech companies? Are they marketing companies? Is it the public sector, universities? What are they? Mm-hmm. So this is really the value that this kind of analysis brings in. It's powerful information.
Tell me the story you told in your presentation, though, that you noticed who was your best client and what did you do and what were the results?
Yeah. So during...
Do you know which one I'm referring to?
I think I do. Yeah.
Right.
Yes. So I've been looking at the numbers for the past 3 years, and I knew who my biggest client was. And when I realized that we've been working together for the past 3 years and how valuable they are to me and to my business and the kind of relationship we have, I realized I want to do something more. I want to invest in this client. I want to go the extra mile for them, which is exactly what I did. I took an airplane and went and visited them. I kind of said a little lie at the beginning. I said to them, oh, I am getting a lot of clients in your region and I'll be visiting a few of them. So would you like to meet up? It would be really nice. We've been working together for such a long time. Mm-hmm. We can just meet and meet you in person and just have a nice little catch up. Maybe you can introduce me to the team and I can get to know you a little bit better. We can discuss what works and what doesn't work and what I can do for you in a different way. Mm-hmm. And they came back very quickly, very positively, with just one line email saying yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that would be great. And then I said, okay, so how are these dates and these dates? And they said, yeah, great. So I just booked my flights and went and saw them, and that was at the end of February. And
now tell me where it was. It wasn't like you were flying from London to
So the profile of this client is the following. They are a tech startup and they are in Singapore and they're a part of a big tech group. And for them, I've been providing legal translations for the past 3 years. And the kind of service they offer is geotagging location services. And the legal translation I was providing for them was specifically for their legal team that they have in-house. So it wasn't, they might be a tech company, but I wasn't doing tech translations for them because I don't really do tech translation, even though the legal translations I've been doing for them have been quite, you know, terminology heavy on the tech side, because within their terms they always have, you know, different names of the products and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But the outcome was really exciting and positive because they are a very friendly office and they are very friendly people and they have a great startup vibe and everybody was just very chilled. They have rooms for yoga in the office. They have phone booths, they have snacks and so many different canteens and food and a gym, and you can sit on a Pilates ball and work standing desk. You know, they have all these really, really trendy office stuff around, and you can have your dog in the office or your pet. And it was a really, really good vibe, and I felt very welcomed. Mm-hmm. And
but I just want to stress to the listeners that you, on your own expense, booked a flight and a hotel in Singapore just to meet up with one of your most loyal clients.
Yes.
without expecting anything in return, right?
That's right. That's right. I wasn't expecting anything in return. But
what was the result? Did you?
But what happened was my contact there arranged a few meetings for me on the first and the second day. And mm-hmm. they were mainly for to meet the people essentially that I was working with from the legal team. And but during those meetings, while we started discussing things and I was listening to their problems that often had to do with delivery times or quality or terminology or basically getting things done faster and more streamlined, I started talking to them about process improvements and workflow tools and technology tools and translation-specific mm-hmm. technology tools and terminology and how we can manage glossaries and how we can make things a little bit better. And then they realized, oh, hang on, we should get you in touch with the marketing team because they also do translations, and we think you could help them yeah. as well understand the process better because it seems like you know more than we do about the subject. Mm-hmm. And then they realized, oh, actually, we also have a localization team that deals with the app side of things that you should probably also be translating because it doesn't make sense having one translator doing the legal stuff, another one doing the marketing stuff, another one doing the tech stuff. Even though these are different areas, they share quite a lot of the terminology. So somebody should maybe looking at it from a top sort of umbrella perspective. And would you like to be doing that? And I said, yes. Mm-hmm. And then we left it at that point where they said, okay, well, you know, we just look forward to your proposal. So I flew back to London and I've put together a proposal for them within a week and I sent it to them. And they have been very positive since, but of course, the pandemic started and they've put a few things on hold, and that role is on hold as well, only because a couple of my contacts there are now not working, but yeah. they're expecting to be going back to work soon. So, you know, it's to say that you, by doing this kind of work and analysis and understanding what is working for you, and you can also make decisions as to how and when you should invest and in what. And I chose to invest in this client because they invested in me, and mm-hmm. I saw a big value in going and seeing them and making the relationship personal. Mm-hmm. And I'm still very positive that our project will go ahead and that we will continue mm-hmm. with the proposal once things have started to go a little bit better for them. And because we've been in touch since. So yeah.
Good. Keeping in touch is important.
It's extremely important, yes.
So I had a question here, but I think that I already know the answer. I had, where can we find this data? But the thing is that as soon as you get, is it a proposal for a job or the actual job when you start recording all the information?
Oh, I love that question. You know why? Because up until maybe a year ago, I've only been recording the jobs that I knew I definitely have. So I got a PO or a confirmation or a go ahead. I will log the job, and purely on the basis of knowing what it is that I need to be doing every day. Mm-hmm. But It's been a while now that what I am noticing I'm doing is I am also logging jobs that are not confirmed yet, but not every single one of them. You know, the ones that I have a good vibe about and the ones that I really actually want to get, mm-hmm. because that helps me go back to them and follow up and ask for updates and see where things are and kind of remind them that, you know, hey, where's the job? Is it coming? How are you? How are things? Yeah.
So do you do that in the same spreadsheet or a different one?
Same.
Okay. Very good. So we heard a few stories of what you have done based on the data you got and the results. Do you have any other changes based on your business reports that you have done?
Yes. So I've looked at the, apart from, well, this big client that I took the trip for, what I did was I've put down the client profile. So all the things I've listed briefly earlier, you know, where they are, what they do, what kind of jobs they do for them, what services they provide. And I generated this client persona profile. And then I started looking at, well, are there any other ones that are of this type? And will they need my services maybe? Yeah. So I've started creating my ideal client persona in a way, and in an effort to try and understand if I can get more of those.
And that is the best way, or the easiest way to do it, to look at your current clients and drill out an ideal client avatar from them.
So exactly.
I know in your presentation, your data, you show that, okay, I get 70% before pandemic then. Are legal translations located here, and then you could sort of adjust and contact more of them.
Precisely, exactly. That's why it's so important to start from the data we already hold as businesses, because it's there and we need to utilize it. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. The data is right there, but we just have to look at it and ask all the questions.
Very good. So thank you. And it was an awesome presentation with a lot of examples. And we will share the link to Vasiliki's Excel spreadsheet template that she used, because that was very interesting to see. And we will share some of the other reporting systems, but we don't really if you want to use other systems such as LSP Expert and stuff, but you can also just use an Excel. And we will, of course, share all information about Vasiliki. So thank you so much, Vasiliki, for this information. One final question. I always ask this question. So I asked it when you were on the podcast last, but now things have changed a lot due to the pandemic. So what marketing method works really well for you right now?
Yes. And I think I remember, if I remember correctly, last time I said referrals and word of mouth. So client, from client to clients. Yes. But also what I've seen the past few months work quite well is LinkedIn. So being active on LinkedIn, not just by posting my own content, but actually engaging with other people's comments and posts and liking and sending them messages. That has actually led to a few conversations that have led to one or two jobs. Mm-hmm. And lately, Instagram as well brought in a couple of clients. So one of it is a direct and the other one is a creative translation marketing agency who are very active on Instagram. So I think at the moment, social media and online networking and essentially inbound marketing is what works.
That's why I developed and released the inbound marketing course right now, because it's a really valuable way to market right now.
Absolutely.
So, but on LinkedIn then, when you say you engage, is it with potential clients or with colleagues?
No, with potential clients, yes. potential clients. I think that it's important to understand that it's good to connect with colleagues, but at the same time, I think there are platforms where you should have less of colleagues as connections and target more the clients because you want to keep in touch with them.
Yes. And I did an, or I have my guest teacher in the inbound marketing course, Martina Russo, is teaching all about LinkedIn. And she recommends, or she says that the LinkedIn algorithm makes it so that whoever you are connected most to are seeing your posts most. So it is a good idea to focus your connections on potential clients and clients.
Yes, absolutely. And also the nature of stuff that you like is the stuff that you're going to be seeing more of. Mm-hmm. It's just as simple as that.
Okay. Yep. So very good information. Thank you so much. I love how easy you make it seem to do these analysis and all the great examples because easy is always good if we want to do it. There is no reason for any of us not to know who our biggest client is, what services are the most profitable, and what market segment we should focus on these days. I know some of these already, but could do a better job with analyzing the data like you do. So thank you, Vasiliki.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me. And me, myself included, I can do a lot better work always, all the time. We all have room for improvement. Just have to keep trying.
Well, we will probably get better after this interview.
I hope so.
So I also, before we go, want to give a listener shout out. This one goes to Katrin Kröger. She says, I've just finished listening to episode 219 and heard you talking about mentorship. I just wanted to let you know that I consider you my mentor and thank you for all that you do. I've gotten so much from listening to your podcast and doing your courses over the last couple of years and really appreciate all the information that you continue to provide us to us translators. So I just want to say thank you, Katrin, for these comments. This warms my heart and makes it all worth it. I know I also have days when I'm like, is this really worth it? It's also funny how your mentors can be people that you have never met in person. I have a few of those myself. What about you, Vasiliki? Do you have mentors that don't even know that they are your mentor?
For sure. I think inspiration goes both ways. You know, I think it's so lovely and heartwarming to read messages such as the one you just read right now. Mm-hmm. And I often get those messages too from people saying, oh, you're my example. I admire you. You're so motivated. You're an inspiration. I want to be like you. And then I feel good. You know, it's so lovely to hear. But then also I remind myself that, you know, I do what I do. Or maybe, you know, some of these moments are motivating me. So inspiration goes both ways. And I definitely have people I look up to and I admire. You definitely are one of them. Valeria is another one. So it's really, really important to look up to each other and draw inspiration from one another.
Especially in these times.
Stay positive.
So thank you also to the listeners. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love to hear from you, both me and Vasiliki. You can comment in the show notes that can be found at marketingtipsfortranslators.com/246. There you can also find links to all the resources we have mentioned in this episode, and easy ways to share the episodes with friends and colleagues. So have a great week. Thank you for listening. And I will see you in the next episode.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Marketing Tips for Translators. I hope you found some good tips to apply to your freelance career. If you did, a great way to show this is by leaving a review on your favorite podcast listening app, or to share the episode with other colleagues.
Do you have a topic, question, or a guest you would like to hear about here? Send me an email to podcast@marketingtipsfortranslators.com.